right after Bilam has failed at his attempt to curse the Jewish people, his curses have been miraculously turned into blessings, Bilam does not give up. And he hatches one more plan, this one far more successful. As he comes up with an idea to use the Moabite women to seduce the Jewish men into acts of sexual immorality. Worse yet, before these women would yield to the desires of the Jewish men, they required the Jewish people, the Jewish men here, to worship their Avodah Zarah, Baal Peor, and only then would they consent to their desires. And in fact, so tempted by these women, the men yielded to that requirement, and therefore they went from bad to worse, coupling Gilui Arayos with Avodah Zarah. No surprise, of course, Hashem is furious. There's a plague. He's killing out the Jewish people. He requires Moshe and the leaders to execute those who have been guilty. And as Moshe is gathering the leaders to go through to execute Hashem's justice, the situation turns even worse. As Zimri, the prince of the tribe of Shimon, takes a Moabite princess, a Midianite princess, Cozbi, and there in front of Moshe and the leaders, in public, in a holy place, in front of the most holy people, in front of everyone, they commit an act of absolute immorality. Public display of immorality, a breach of every possible standard, something that could not have been imagined, completely unconscionable. And as bad as it is, perhaps what is shocking is that Moshe, the leader of leaders, is paralyzed. He's indecisive. All the Torah tells us he can summon himself to do with the other leaders, Hema Bochim Pesach Ohel Moed. At the entrance of the Ohel Moed, they are crying. And it's only as we read in the final psukim of our parsha, Pinchas, a grandson of Aaron a Kohen, he steps forward with his spear and he kills both Zimri and Cozbi, and by so doing, quells and calms Hashem's anger, stops the plague, and saves the Jewish people. As shocking as this whole episode is, the Medrash in particular is bothered by Moshe's inaction and Moshe's crying in place of stepping forward to take care of what Zimri and Cozbi were doing. Why, asks the Medrash, why was Moshe crying instead of acting? And initially the Medrash is critical of Moshe. Shnisrapu yadeim, somehow he was weak, he faltered. But then the Medrash goes on and with some sensitivity and nuance seems to explain and perhaps even defend Moshe's feeling of betrayal and his own weakness. After all, says the Medrash, what can this be comparable to? A princess who is being prepared to be led to the chuppah by her family and at the last minute is found to have been unfaithful. At that moment, in such a public arena, at her chuppah, right there, in front of everyone, right before what should have been such a happy and tremendous moment of pride for the family, comes crashing down, says the Medrash, the father and the relatives will simply fall apart. They won't even know what to say, what to do. They'll be so overwhelmed with humiliation and pain. Kach Yisrael, says the Medrash. So to hear, the Jewish people, after 40 years, they're camped right near the edge of the Yarden. They're poised to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. They're so close. And they turned also to promiscuity. They betray Hashem. And therefore, the Medrash says, we can understand why Moshe and the other leaders became weak. In a certain sense, the Medrash is depicting Moshe as comparable to the father of the bride in the Mashal. After all, this is not that initial generation that betrayed Hashem, the Meraglim or the Egel, who were Moshe's people, but you know, more or less already adults. That generation had died out. This is the next generation, the one that Moshe had raised for almost 40 years in the desert. He was, so to speak, their father, and they betrayed him at the last moment in the worst possible way. We could understand in a certain sense why Moshe would be so overwhelmed and unable to act. And yet the Medrash then pivots and seems again to be upset at Moshe. It's still not satisfied. After all, this is the same Moshe who stood up against the entire nation at the time of the Cheder Egel. 2 million people, 600,000 adult men. He can't handle one Zimri. So the Medrash concludes, or answers, excuse me, at this point, something that Rashi himself says, well, Moshe, so to speak, didn't act to yield for the opportunity. B'hashkacha, it was the opportunity for Pinchas to step forward, for him to shine, and him to be rewarded. And yet, the Medrash concludes in another direction, not defending Moshe because it gave an opportunity to Pinchas, but rather saying, Lefisha nis'atzel. In a certain sense, on his own level, Moshe was lazy. He didn't do what he should have done. And the Medrash is aware that this is harsh judgment. After all, the Medrash says that God is medakdek im hatzadikim ad kechot hasara. What might have been considered understandable for you and me is considered inexcusable laziness, quote-unquote, on behalf of Moshe. Moshe's judged on a higher level, and on his level, he failed. This doesn't mean lazy the way you and I mean lazy. It means that he didn't take an opportunity. He didn't show initiative when he could have. He didn't rise to the occasion and do what could have been done. The Medrash, right before this conclusion, quotes the or paraphrases the Mishnah in Perkei Avos and Perkei, Az ken amer, v'kal kaneshe, v'rat kitzvi, v'gibor ka'ari, lasos ritzon kono. That we should be as bold as a leopard, and as swift as an eagle, as fleet as a deer, as strong as a lion to do the will of Hashem. And what this is teaching us, and that's the context of that Mishnah, is that a person needs to have initiative. When opportunities present themselves, even if they're not strict obligations, but they're opportunities, and when we're presented with those opportunities, we have to rise to the occasion, and to not do so, we see from our Medrash, it's not just to miss out on an opportunity, not just to miss an opportunity of an Asay Tov, but it's a form of a deficiency. It's a form of Sur Meira. We need to strive in our service of Hashem to maximize those opportunities that are presented to us, not be lazy on any level and let them pass us by. The punishment that Moshe received was unique to him, because perhaps only Moshe would have been punished like this because of his high level. But the overall perspective on missing opportunities and not having that initiative when they are presented, that's something that not only Moshe should have done, but every one of us can and should do, and we must learn from this terrible mistake.